Okay, well, let's come before the Lord in prayer. And we want to do that, Father, because we want to ask you for your help as we look at your great word. I thank you for the words that Judy read to us, and we ask that you would help us as we look at this passage and other parts of your word as well. And we just thank you for how we can meet today, beginning with a prayer time earlier, and thank you for the songs we've sung. And what a lovely song, Good and Gracious King Is. It captures your most magnificent heart. And we can come empty-handed. There's nothing we can really contribute, but you receive us with all your heart, Lord. You receive us and welcome us in the name of Jesus. So we just pray now for your help, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start off by saying what a wonderful night we had here last Sunday night. If you're able to come along, it was really fantastic to have local churches around the area, many of them evangelical, to come and to celebrate the day of Pentecost. And so we had a pretty full place here, and we were able to meet together to celebrate the anniversary of the birth of Christ's glorious church and the anniversary of the coming of the Holy Spirit into the lives of those first believers. How do you feel about that? We have a time in history when amazing things happened, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit came, what a change, what a magnificent change he brought about in the lives of those first believers, as he also does in us when we open our heart to Jesus. And I do want to do a little recap of the things that I remember from last week. So I remember just speaking to you about these big things. When the Holy Spirit came upon those first believers, we read there that their tongues were loosened. You like that? To declare God's mighty deeds. Their hearts were warmed by the Spirit to worship God. And their minds were opened to understand the magnificence of Christ's atoning death for us and his mighty resurrection. Made a big difference to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit even caused a big change in Peter. Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times in order to save his own skin. We see him being the one appointed by God to do the very first sermon, and he preaches without any fear, even though he could be taken down and crucified. He preaches with such courage, with such clarity, and with such conviction. This is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit also brought about on that first day, how many people coming to Christ on that first day? It tells us 3,000. 3,000 souls. And I reckon Peter would say, it wasn't because of my preaching. It was because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit making alive God's Word and drawing people to Christ. Just as Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And the first church, wow! I say wow a bit. And I've got to say wow for the first church. The first church was amazing. It was alive and it was active. And last Sunday night we looked at a few of those key points. The first church had a sense of awe as God moved mightily amongst them. They had a sharing and caring heart for each one of them. They knew they were now a new family, the family of Christ. They had a solidarity. They were together, meeting regularly together, daily, sharing bread and worshipping God together. And this led to the saving of souls. God used their wonderful witness and his mighty Spirit to bring many others to Christ. And what brought all this about? Someone organised it? No. No, it's the Holy Spirit. And not just that, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what caused the first church to be born and to be so beautiful and glorious. All right, so when I think about that, in the light of all those wonderful things, I want to explore with you what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because I would love and pray for this, that all God's people here would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that we might experience, as it should be, where we are alive and active for Jesus. Where we are about the glory of God and the honour of Christ. Where we are alive in Jesus and allowing and other people being drawn to Christ. And this is not something that we, it's just wishful thinking. This is a reality. Because God's Spirit is real. He's listening to this and guiding us right now. He wants to fill our hearts that we might be so transformed and changed that we might be like that first church. And it's always that. It's always we have to go back to where we started. You know that? We drop, we have to get back up to where we're meant to be. And that's how it is in my life, and that's how it is in your life. And when the Holy Spirit is filling us, then amazing things happen. Now, let's explore being filled with the Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, there is a command by the Apostle Paul to Christians, and he says, be filled with the Spirit. Of course, that's the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. We had it in our Bible reading. It's interesting in the Greek, I don't often use the Greek, but in this case it's helpful. The language of the Greek to do with that verb about being filled is actually better translated, be continually filled with the Spirit, or keep on being filled with the Spirit. That is to say, this being filled with the Spirit is not a one-off thing. It doesn't happen when you are born again and you're filled forever with the Spirit. It doesn't happen from some supernatural, wonderful spiritual experience. Being filled with the Spirit is something that requires daily activity, right activity. So that's what we need to do. We need to find out what that means in order to be filled with the Spirit every day and keep on being filled with the Spirit. So here's something. Is it like a dam needing to be recharged regularly from the heavens above so that it remained full? Is that the same way that we are to understand being filled with the Spirit? And I hope you would say no, because the Spirit is not some power. He's a person, the third person of the Trinity. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, to keep on being filled with the Spirit? Well, it's actually in Ephesians 5:18, if I read the whole verse. So the whole verse says, do not get drunk with wine. Why is that there? We'll find out. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul is not going on about being drunk just for the sake of it. There's a picture there. And that picture is this. Think of a drunk person, and they are intoxicated with wine, with alcoholic spirits, and we all know that that drink in them controls them fully in the way they think and behave. Now, Paul gives this incredible picture, you probably wouldn't use it normally, in order for us to understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means for him to have full control and sway over our life. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And that's something that you have to keep on making sure is happening. That's why it says continue to be filled in the Spirit, or keep on being filled with the Spirit. Okay, so let me explain. And a little bit more. We want the Holy Spirit to have full control over our body, our soul, and our spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to have full control over our head, our heart, and our hands. We want the Holy Spirit to have full control over our mind, emotions, and actions, over our talk and our thoughts, over our desires and our plans. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reality is, many a Christian is not filled with the Spirit because they have other agendas being played in their life, especially with self. And the beautiful thing about being filled with the Spirit, unlike alcohol that leads to dissipation, being filled with the Holy Spirit leads to us shining, shining Christ, and being a church that is alive and active for Christ, for God's glory and for Christ's honour. It's the most beautiful thing to be filled with the Spirit and to be amongst a group of people who are also filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, before I consider with you some important biblical truths about how to keep on being filled with the Spirit, I want to have a look at the blessing it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm only going to look at these verses here from 18 to 21 and to pick up with you what it looks like. So it says in verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, or keep on being filled with the Spirit. Then verse 19 says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, if I look at those verses, it looks like this. You are filled with a little word, starts with J, three letters, joy. Joy. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have joy. So much joy, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He fills you with joy. So you can't help but speak and sing about Jesus. That's how it is. That's what it looks like if you're filled with the Spirit. What, even when you're down in the dumps with all this trouble going on? Yeah, because the Holy Spirit, He is so powerful, He just lifts you up, gives you joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. Wow. That's a pretty good thing. Do you want joy? Be filled with the Spirit. All right, the next thing the Holy Spirit does, He makes you so thankful. Instead of being miserable and groaning and complaining, as us humans can do, you become such a thankful person. So let me say that again. Being filled with the Spirit makes you thankful. Thankful to God. Thankful for who He is and what He does for us. What a blessed state it is to be a thankful person. It's really good to meet somebody who's thankful, actually, instead of grumbling and complaining. So that's how we're meant to be. Thankful. In fact, that's God's will for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And there's no reason why we can't. If you have any idea who God is and what He's done for you in Christ, and the Holy Spirit reminding you, because He's fooling you, reminding you again and again, you can't help but be thankful. Just like that lady that Pete was talking about, facing death, but she's thankful to God because she knows where she's going, all because of Jesus. And the other thing that is indicative of us being filled with the Spirit is verse 21. I won't go on because that's about marriage after that, so well, that's another time. But it does say, verse 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So when you are filled with the Spirit, the other thing that you are humble. Humble and servant-hearted. That is such a clear indication that you are filled with the Spirit. In fact, you remind me of someone else when you're like that. Oh, Jesus. So humble and so servant-hearted. He had the Spirit without measure. So be filled with the Spirit. And I know it's not here in Ephesians 5, and we're going to be looking at this tonight. If you want to come out tonight, we're going to be looking at something else. When we're filled with the Spirit, we show to the world Jesus. We are shining the character of Christ. Because in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And that fruit of the Spirit will ooze out of us when we are, what's the key thing here? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We become a most beautiful people. So just on all those things, like who would not want to be filled with the Spirit? Alright, you don't have to put your hands up here. You better not put your hand up. Who doesn't want to be? Who wants to be filled with the Spirit? Who doesn't want to have joy and thankfulness and a humble heart, being a blessing to others and being full of Jesus' character? Man, that is just the best, isn't it? All right. Okay, so you better be praying for yourselves and each other. I need to be filled with the Spirit every day. Keep on being filled. Now, the next part we're going to look at is what we've got to do. All right. Okay, so here we have it. We've got from the New Testament. We're going to be going different parts of the Bible now. that I've sort of listed it like this. There's three do nots and there's three do's that we absolutely need to know about if we want to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the three do nots are: do not grieve the Holy Spirit, do not quench the Holy Spirit, and do not provoke the Holy Spirit to jealousy. They are three very special verses that we need to understand so that we do not cause the Holy Spirit to not be full in us. Okay, so the do not grieve the Holy Spirit is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And what's interesting is that the setting of that phrase, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, in verse 29 and in verse 31, is all about a little part of our body called the tongue. Speaking badly, speaking wrongly, speaking unkindly. And I love to take the Bible in context. So to me, the grieving of the Spirit occurs when we sin with this little member called the tongue. But actually, all sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And so what we need to understand here is that when I sin, I grieve the Spirit, and He's not able to be full in me, ruling and controlling me, because I'm allowing my tongue to speak, and it grieves the Spirit. How easy it is to grieve the Spirit. How easy it is. Because we do sin. And especially with our mouth. So be diligent to not sin with your mouth. Be diligent in seeking to live a life pleasing to God. Don't grieve the Spirit. So there will be many of us here who have grieved the Spirit. And maybe you are grieving Him right now, because of what you've said. All right, the next one we're going to look at is don't quench the Spirit. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances. Now, there's a whole lot of bullet points there in 1 Thessalonians 5. So it's just this verse that we need to comprehend. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? Well, it says don't despise prophetic utterance. So what the Apostle Paul is telling us is we quench the Spirit when we are not listening to God. God speaks to us through His Word, through people in our life. And if we don't listen, if we're not paying attention, we are quenching the Spirit. And that happens when we become proud and unteachable. How easy it is to quench the Spirit, because we have so many of our own strong opinions that are ruling us and not the Word of Christ. And so what happens? We quench the Spirit, and that also causes us not to be full of the Spirit anymore. He's still there, by the way. I should make that clear. The Holy Spirit, praise God for this, He never leaves us. And I haven't said this yet. He never leaves us. But we can affect Him and minimise, even though He raised Christ from the dead, we can minimise His power in our life by grieving Him and also quenching Him. So don't quench the Spirit. Be diligent to be teachable and humble always. And then don't provoke the Spirit to jealousy. And that's in James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Let me read that out to you. It's pretty hard hitting, this. It talks about, we get called adulteresses here. Let's find out why. James chapter 4, 4 and 5. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires a spirit which He has made to dwell in us. Now that last part can be a little bit hard to understand, but what it's saying is that when we love the world, when we love the things of the world rather than God and the things of God, we are actually provoking the Spirit in our hearts to be jealous, because He sees our loyalty is divided. We're loving things that we shouldn't be loving and not loving God. And so the spirit becomes jealous in a right way, you know, correct jealousy. So let me think of a few passages here. Matthew 6, verse 24. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't be divided." And so we've got to make this decision to make sure that we're not provoking the spirit by not loving the world. Instead, we are to be diligent loving Christ above all things. And I've got to read to you that passage in 1 John chapter 2, which also makes it clear, where it talks about don't love the world but love God. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. "Do not love the world nor the things in the world." Now I'm going to just pause there. You know, when I think of this passage has more power on me than ever before, because I know, and you should know, this world is absolutely treacherous and it's insidious. And there are so many things that we are drawn to. We've got to admit this. We are so easily caught up with the world. These words are really important to take to heart. Don't love the world, it says, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also it lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. So we need to make sure we're not provoking the Spirit, because we love Christ, we love our Father above all other things. Okay, three big things we've looked at. The do nots. Do not, see if you can remember this, grieve the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not provoke the Spirit to jealousy. We need to understand these things. If we don't understand it, we won't understand why the Holy Spirit so little in our life. His influence on our life is so minimal. All right, the three big do's now. The three big do's. I'm going to finish on these. The three big do's are these. Acknowledge sin. Abide in Christ and adore God. Oh, that's nice and easy to remember. Three A's, right? Okay, so acknowledge sin, abide in Christ and adore God. So we need to make sure that we are acknowledging or confessing our sins. We are to keep short accounts with God. That means every day. Do you sin? Yeah, I sin. Pretty much sometime in the day we sin. Pretty much every day we need to be confessing our sins. And as we confess our sins, this is great for undoing our grieving the Spirit and then allowing the Holy Spirit to be full in us. So we need to be active in confessing our sins. Now, even in the morning when I wake up and I ask the Lord to forgive me, there are things that I might not even be aware of. I even ask the Lord, if I'm not even aware of any sin, that please would you still forgive me, Lord, because there are probably things I've done or said or thought that I'm not even aware of. And I ask the Lord to forgive me because I take serious the grieving of the Spirit. I take serious the reality of being right with God. I'm right with God through Christ, but I mean day by day, having fellowship with God. And that's through confessing sin, acknowledging sin. So I'm going to read that really important passage in 1 John chapter 1 that speaks of this. This is a really important passage. 1 John chapter 1, 6 to 9. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That last verse is amazing. God is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins. How can God be faithful and just? Because Jesus paid the penalty for them. So that's why God can forgive us faithfully and justly and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's just the perfect setting for the Holy Spirit then to fill us, no longer grieving us. So that's something we need to do, acknowledge sin. Right, the next one is abide in Christ. And that comes from John chapter 15. As we abide in Christ, as we cling to Him, like a branch clinging to the vine, then the sap of the vine will flow through us and cause us to have life. And of course, that's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit moving in our midst and moving in our hearts as we abide in Christ and filling us with life. That's a beautiful picture from John chapter 15. Let me read verse 5 of John 15. Jesus says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ means that we keep close to him. We are listening to his word. We're listening to him and following him. I love John chapter 10 verse 27. Jesus says there, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. This is what it means to abide in Christ. Having Christ and his word in us and we are listening to Christ. And as we do this, this will stop us from quenching the Spirit and enables us to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Abiding with Christ begins the moment you wake up. You've just had a sleep. The moment you wake up, it's meant to be from the depths of our heart, good morning, Lord. And be connected to the Lord straight away. To abide with him. To be attentive to his voice. To listen to him. That's abiding in Christ. That's how you get filled with the Spirit every day, every moment of the day. Acknowledge sin, abide in Christ. Right, the third one is adore God. Being filled with the Spirit and adoring God go hand in hand. I sort of wrote this down. You can't sin when you're adoring God. Ever thought of that? Adoring God is so important, but we need to understand what adoring God is. Adoring God is not singing to God, I love you, I love you, I love you, or praying, I love you. What does it mean to adore God? Jesus made it clear. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So to adore God, to fill that out more, to adore God means I love you, Lord, and I'm going to obey you. In John chapter 14, verse 23, we read, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. That's a great verse, that one. If anyone loves me, how do we love Jesus? By keeping his word. And the Father will love us and they will come and dwell in us. How? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will feel at home and fill us and control us. So it's so important that we do these things, we acknowledge our sin, we abide in Christ, and we adore God and are seen in the way we want to obey him and love him. All right, so as I wrap it up, so my prayer for you all, especially in the light of the day of Pentecost last week, is that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you not want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It's the best thing. I'll never forget when I first became a Christian, not even understanding all these things. The joy that filled my heart, the burden got thrown away, the delight and thankfulness to God for his grace in Christ. That was the beginning of it all. And since that day, it has been like that. That's true. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. He's always with us. But I sincerely want the Holy Spirit to be full in me. And to keep on being full in me, and that's what I want for you. That's what I want for Bazo. I hope you do too. That we be spirit-filled Christians. Spirit-filled Christians who shine Christ, who glorify God and honour Christ, and who are such a blessing to each other. And getting together, spirit-filled Christians getting together, man, the warmth of the fire is fantastic, right? That's how it is. It's just beautiful. This is something that is not out of our reach. It's for us today and tomorrow. It's so near because God is so gracious. He's so kind. He's so giving. He wants His people to be filled with His Spirit. It's up to us to follow those, to make sure we don't do those three do nots. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't provoke the Spirit to jealousy. And to keep doing those three do's. Acknowledge sin. Abide in Christ. And adore God. Well, to summarise it all, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to have our final song, which is Lord, the light of your love is shining. And it talks in the chorus, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Let's stand and sing. Father, I just say amen to that lovely song we've sung. And we thank you that we have become your people if we are in Christ. Thank you so much for allowing us to be saved and to be in your family. And we know that it's not just about being saved and waiting to go to heaven one day. You have a really fantastic purpose for us here on earth. And we know that the key to that is for us to have your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, full in us, that we might be caught up with your purposes and that we might shine your light to each other and to the world. So, Father, on behalf of all of us here, I want to ask that you would help us to acknowledge our sin before you, even things that we haven't sorted out with you yet. That you would help us to come clean to you, that we might no longer grieve your Spirit. And Lord, if we've been putting a block on your Spirit speaking to us and we are quenching him, may we break that straight away, even today. Help us to be obedient to you, to listen to what you're saying to us. Lord, help us to be humble and teachable. And Lord, the other big thing, especially because of the world we live in, we ask that you would stop us from having divided hearts. Having hearts that are torn between the world and you, that you would help us to adore you, to love and obey you. You'd be our everything, our all in all. So Lord, I ask these things so that you might be pleased to see a people who are indeed full of your Spirit, where your Spirit rules us and controls us, and that we might bring joy to you and blessing to each other and be a real light in the community. May you fill your people as we are filled with your Spirit, with joy, with thankfulness, and with a beautiful, humble and servant heart. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.